But we begin with driving while stoned. Marijuana is now legal in Washington and Colorado, and medical marijuana is legal or pending approval in dozens of states across the country, raising the question of how high is too high to drive under the influence of pot. That's something to consider here in New Hampshire, where a UNH WMUR poll showed 79% approval for legalizing medical marijuana. Josh Harkinson covers a wide range of topics for Mother Jones and recently wrote about the as-yet undefined meaning of driving under the influence when it comes to marijuana. Welcome back to Word of Mouth, Josh.
Great to join you.
Your article includes the case of Rodney Kuhn. He's fighting a DUI charge in Michigan. What can you tell us about this case?
Well, I mean, Kuhn was pulled over for speeding, and the deputy who stopped him smelled something funny in his car and gave him a breathalyzer test, which he passed, but then thought something else was probably up when he found a marijuana pipe in his pocket. So he took him in and gave him a test, and he tested positive for marijuana. And in Michigan, there's a zero tolerance law, so he was like automatically put in the pipeline to be convicted for drugged driving.
How do police determine if someone is high behind the wheel? You mentioned he passed the breathalyzer. Is there some kind of field sobriety test for marijuana?
There isn't, and that's part of the problem. There really is no fully reliable way to determine whether somebody who smoked marijuana should be able to drive. There is a blood test, which can't really be administered in the field, but if the officer takes a suspect in and this test turns back a certain level, chances are that person is impaired, but then there are some major exceptions to that, especially like regular marijuana smokers really can have much higher levels than the legal limit in some states, but still really be completely fine to drive.
Is there any data comparing the driving skills between somebody who is affected by alcohol, you know, a drunk driver or a stone driver?
The data shows basically somebody who has any amount of marijuana in their system is about twice as likely to cause a car crash than somebody who's totally sober. But then if you compare that to alcohol, it's about nine times as likely for alcohol, for just having any amount of alcohol in your blood. So it's really sort of misleading to say that pot smoking is this epidemic or this really dangerous thing. If we're going to be that worried about it, then we should really crack down on drunk driving much more strongly than we are doing now.
I understand also that drunk drivers tend to drive more aggressively, faster.
Yeah, the studies have shown basically that when people are drunk, they have this feeling of invincibility and they speed up, they drive more aggressively. But with marijuana, it's actually the opposite. They're aware that they're impaired, and they try to compensate for it by driving more slowly. But the problem is that they still aren't very good at responding to sudden problems or like multitasking on the roads.
Do states' impaired driving laws distinguish between somebody who is a little high and somebody who's, you know, just completely stoned?
Well, some states do and other states don't. Like Michigan has a zero tolerance law, as do some other states.
So meaning in the case, as you mentioned, of Rodney Kuhn, any THC in the blood, that's it?
That's it. So that's a big problem for medical marijuana patients, for example. Michigan allows people to consume marijuana if they're certified for medical purposes, but their zero tolerance driving law, at least as it stands now, essentially prevents those people from ever driving.
The other question is, I guess, do we know how long THC lasts in the system? I mean, I know that people who get drug tested, the effects of THC can be found for a month.
It can last in your blood for a week or more, oftentimes at levels that are higher than the legal limit in some states, but then the impairing effects are much shorter. So that's another big problem with just relying on these blood tests as the basis for these driving laws.
Okay, so in places like Colorado and Washington, any increase in people driving while under the influence of marijuana since legalizing recreational marijuana?
Well, I think it's too early to tell. I haven't seen any indication of that. But in California, for example, where medical marijuana has been around for a long time and the states really have sort of decriminalized the drug, marijuana use is very common to the point where about 7% of California drivers surveyed on two weekend nights last summer tested positive for THC, which was about the same percentage as had alcohol in their blood. You know, I think we're seeing this drug become increasingly popular among the public and clearly that has ramifications on the road.
Well, and the very nature of driving is you often cross state lines. So as more states are considering legalizing marijuana, will laws against driving under the influence be revisited? Might they be agreed upon by states?
I don't think a consensus has emerged yet. In Washington state, where recreational marijuana was legalized in the last election, the law included this requirement that the state establish a somewhat strict blood limit for marijuana, which kind of angered some of the pro-marijuana advocates. But, you know, Colorado, which is the other state that legalized pot, so far hasn't done that and is basically relying upon kind of a version of a field sobriety test that are tailored to detecting marijuana, but doesn't use an actual blood test.
Where do marijuana legalization advocates generally stand on these DUI laws?
Well, I think they acknowledge that stone driving can be a problem and people shouldn't do it. But they oppose using these blood limits, or as they're called, these per se requirements for convicting people. So they think that you shouldn't just rely on these blood tests, that you should look at kind of the totality of evidence. So, you know, is somebody swerving? You know, do they exhibit physical characteristics of being really stoned, like bloodshot eyes or inability to kind of track something if you move a finger across their face?
Josh Harkinson from Mother Jones, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, you'll find a link to Josh's story at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.